Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Man, it's good to be here. It's good to see all you guys.
Amen.
I love you all.
Amen.
I'm Brother Ken Jones, for those that don't know me. I haven't been here in a little while, but I love coming down here. I love being here. I love being with you guys. So it sure is a blessing. So why don't we open in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for this camp. We're thankful, Lord, for the way you've moved in this camp and the things that you've told us in this camp and how your Spirit has set it into our hearts, Lord Jesus. We're so thankful for that, Lord. We just ask, the Lord, that you would just continue, Lord, to, as the Spirit has moved and the way it has moved, that it would just continue, Lord, throughout the day and throughout the week and throughout the year, Lord. We just ask your blessing upon this service. It's the last service, Lord, and we're thankful, Lord. But we pray that you'll sum things up in our heart today. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
Because of time constraints and some people want to really, we thought we'd have communion right away. So if the elders that want to serve communion can come up, and then the deacons that would, we can have some deacons step forward and do that.
Welcome. As we gather around the Lord's table, we have the privilege of being in Israel. Tremendous, awesome experience. But the reverence of this table, we are to examine ourselves. Look within ourselves. And then he said, partake. So we invite everybody that knows the Lord as their Savior to take off a piece of bread, break off a piece of bread, hold it, and then we'll have it all together. And then as the wine comes, you're welcome to partake. And it's just such a I don't know what I mean, it's fantastic. We just invite those that know the Lord in to partake and just examine ourselves and then partake of this blessing. It is the Lord's body. Mm-hmm. We need to discern the Lord's body, and we are the body of Christ. So,
before break, just a moment, I just wanted to say a word or two with respect to communion. When God came and drew us to the Lord Jesus, we gave our hearts to him, and every rotten, loathsome, scurrilous thing that we'd ever done was forgotten. God kept nothing against us. And then, I don't know about you, but as a young person, 19, when I had that experience, as I began to walk, I began to find that guy out there called the tempter. He caused a problem here, man. But coming back, keeping communion with Jesus is to maintain your justification, so to speak, if I put it that way. And he washed the disciples' feet, and he said, I just need to clean your feet. Without communion with Christ, there is no sinless life. To live a life in that way, this is the way we come back. If you ever wondered about what it means to work out your salvation, this is very much a part of that, as we come back. Anything that we might have done, as our brother said, we examine ourselves. We enter right back. If there was anything at all that would separate us, we're right back where we were. This is to be in a sinless state, let me put it that way. And so as we go and we keep the communion with Christ, we are always there at the cross. And these things which do so easily beset us are put aside. It's very important, communion. very important. It's not just a ritual. It's not just something we do. It's our life. It's our life. So we'll break bread now and bless it. Heavenly Father, we break what Jesus already broke, his body. He took the bread and he broke and said, this is my body, which is given for you. And we thank you for that. That you allowed, you broke your body. Nobody could do it. You did it. That we might partake of it and come back into oneness with you. We bless it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come together, keeping communion with our Lord Jesus, and we come to the place where indeed we may say, as you did, Jesus, that Satan has come and found nothing to be. My God, as we enter into this holy sacrament, we just pray that we are set at the same time. Let us eat together.
same night that the Lord took the cup to say, partake with each of you in remembrance of me.
Yes.
Lord, we are humble in your presence, Lord, that we can partake of your precious blood that was shed for us. We have no idea what you have gone through. But Lord, we bless this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Hallelujah.
That there will be healing.
Yes.
Healing and salvation. We need to be redeemed from this sinful nature, Lord. And we do this an act of obedience, but Lord, you'll do the rest. We bless this in the name of Jesus
yes.
Christ,
Hallelujah.
Our Lord. Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you.
Something just seemed to drop in my heart while we were taking here meditating, quite often I think about the taking of bread as that part where God is, I'm looking to him to forgive my sin, things I may have done, dirty my feet. I was reminded that we couldn't drink the blood of Jesus if we hadn't shed it. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It's all very much, we are certainly blessed when we take it. That is very much an atonement and a forgiveness in all these things. That's all.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, my very first camp I ever went to in this move of the Spirit, you know, I was just a babe in the woods, you know, and everything was new. You know, everything was new. Everything was exciting, you know, and the things that weren't so exciting is when I found out that I didn't have, you know, spiritually what everybody else had. That wasn't so much fun, you know, because you felt spiritually deficient, but you really didn't want to go through what God has to put you through, in other words, a flesh-burning party, to get what you need to walk with God. Amen?
Yeah.
And so I remember the very first camp I went to, and I had already given my heart to the Lord, and that was hard enough for me, you know. I thought that was really hard, you know. So, I mean, I still struggled with it, you know. So it wasn't like this experience where it just, you know, happened, and it happened over a period of time, but some of you heard this before, right? I went to the first camp, you know, and, you know, I hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet, and I hadn't been baptized yet. You know, I believed in God, but I just led it at that my whole life, you know. So when I came here, you know, to sense the Spirit of God, to sense the Holy Spirit, and that's a tremendous thing. And there's nothing like it, you know. And I know some of us have grown up in the church, and you have experienced that from the time that you're a little baby. You get used to it, and that's okay. For me, God didn't seem to want to do it like that. He threw it upon me, you know, and he burnt me, and I was on fire, you know. And I remember going to this camp, and we flew all the way out to, I think it was in Turner, Oregon. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I just remember being there. We went there twice. I want to forget the song that they, you know, like if you had told me what this theme of that camp was, it was this song, you know. And I'll never forget when they started singing it. The one who kept on leading us in this song, you know, would get really fired up. I mean, we really get fired up. I mean, he just, the Spirit would just come over him and he would just, you know, let it fly. And I remember seeing that and I think, you know, that's how I feel. That's how I feel, you know. I mean, that's what the Spirit does to me. You just get fired up in God.
Amen.
You get fired up in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And you know, the funny thing was, it's, you know, it wasn't just one service. It was like, it was every service, you know. I think we sang that song every service. And we sang it a lot. We didn't sing it like two or three times. We just kept on singing it. And I just loved that. I remember going home thinking, I love that song, you know. And, you know, the guy that was getting all fired up, it was Brian Marcus, you know. Now, you're playing about it, doesn't surprise me. But, you know, the funny thing is, I never saw him again for like 15 years, you know. I didn't see Brian Marcus again for like 15 years. I always came to camp here, and he was out there, and I remember it took a long time to see him. I remember I was used to wonder, who is this guy? Who was this guy, you know? Because I'd like to see him again, you know. And lo and behold, of course, you stay here long enough, you run into people that you've never seen. This was 32 years ago, you know. And but the song was I had come to believe. And, you know, we didn't sing it slow. It wasn't a funeral song. It's not a funeral song. I don't like funeral songs, you know. I like to, and the thing I appreciated about this camp is there has been no slow playing, you know. And even when it had been playing slow, you had to speed the piano up a little bit to keep going, you know. And that's how I like things, you know. I mean, so I really liked the singing here because it, and you know, there's a time for the slow worship song. I know that. And you have to let God do his way, have his will. But I like to sing that song. But there's a counter melody that goes with that song. Do you guys know that when we sing that? Does anybody know that? No? You do? Okay, I hear yes. So why don't we all stand?
I'm never.
God wants. He wants his people to be exalted. He is to be exalted. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
children, say unto thee, does not my spirit come with power and authority, saith the Lord? For it is not your power, nor is it your authority, but I give that to thee from me, saith the Lord. So that when you speak, the ones that need to hear shall hear. And when you do, it shall be done, so that it will be noticed. And I shall be glorified, saith the Lord. And I say unto thee, take upon thee my spirit, for it is within ye. You do not have to look far, but I say, it is within thee, saith the Lord. And you shall speak, and others shall hear, and it shall be done. The things that you say in my name shall be done, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And for that which is by me, saith the Lord, shall last. But that which is not by me shall not last. But it shall be destroyed. And it is nothing already, saith the Lord. For that which is of power that is not of me, saith the Lord, is nothing, and I shall crush it, saith the Lord God. Yea, lean on me heavily. And that which is knowledge, or called knowledge, is not of me, saith the Lord. It is nothing, and it shall vanish away, and it shall be shown to be very foolish, saith the Lord God. Therefore lean on me, lean on me, listen to my voice, and I will show you, and I will guide you, and I will give you power, and you will overcome. And you will overcome the world, saith the Lord, by my power.
For I have equipped you with every spiritual blessing to do my will. Lean not to your own understanding. Keep the Holy Spirit within you, stirred up to do every good work that I have already planned for you to do.
Hallelujah. Did I not anoint every one of you? You have my words and my power inside you. My armor is on you. Do not fear. Walk in my ways. Spread my word. Be my disciples. Take this home with you and give it to the world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Struggles. And when you cannot find me, my child, know in your heart, in your soul, and in your mind that I am always there. And even when you are not there, even when you are not reaching out for me, I am always holding you. And I am content with who you are. I am content with what you have become, because my child, I can see the future. I can see who you will become. And my child, I know that it is a journey to get there. But my child, I will take every step of it with you. You do not have to be afraid of who I am. You do not have to be afraid of my holiness. For I am a holy, and I am a righteous, and I am a wrathful God. But my child, I am also your father. I am your father, and I will not leave you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And you do not need to fear, for your father loves you. Above all else, he loves you no matter what you choose. I will continue to love you no matter what. And remember that, my child, as you go, and when you cannot find me, remember I have already found you.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
For the same spirit that has moved upon you and within you at this camp is the same spirit which shall be with you as you leave. And though the circumstances and the environment will change, that anointing which has rested upon you and even within you shall continue to be with you. As you seek me and as you wait before me, as you meditate upon my word, and as you think about those things which you experienced at the camp, be assured that that same spirit that was at this camp is the same spirit that goes with you. It is the same spirit that is within you. And it is that spirit which will edify you and lift you up and strengthen you in the times of discouragement.
Yea, I say unto you, I am one that sticketh closer than a brother.
Yes.
Yea, I am one that is even closer than breath itself,
yes,
because I dwell within your innermost being. So wherever you go and whatever you do, that spirit resides within you, and that anointing shall remain in you. Know this as a fact, that which I have begun in you, that which I have stirred in you during this week, that which I have caused to be edified within you this week, it shall continue. But continue that fellowship with me. Thou must abide in the Holy One. Thou must stay connected to the vine, so that the life from the Son of God shall continually flow in a plenteous way to nourish you and to cause you to bear fruit. Thus saith the Lord.
And surely I say, my children, as you go forth, fear not. And yea, wear the armor that I have given thee. But yea, most of all, remember the helm of salvation, Lord. For as the Lord will protect your mind and your thoughts, as has been ministered so many times, oh my little ones, about the thought process, put on the helm of salvation, oh my little ones, that you can withstand all the temptations of the enemy. And yea, remember, my little ones, that your weapons are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds.
Yes.
For yea, it is written, one shall chase a thousand, and two shall put 10,000 to flight, O my little ones. Arise up in my strength and my power, that you may withstand all the fiery darts of the enemy.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Shall have desire to believe. Just lean on me wherever you may go, and you will be a witness unto me.
Praise
you,
Lord.
They shall see me. Bless to those who can see something you cannot see without faith. Bless to those hungry and thirsty. They shall be satisfied. If you don't have any hunger, ask of me. You come to me. I'll give you hunger. I'll give you power to forgive. I will give you power to reconcile. I will give you power to be kissed with one another. This perfect love, cast away all your fears. Walk in my love, walk in my light, so you cannot be stumbled. This day, my children shall go free. You are not faith. You are in my will. Yes, this is the day my children shall go free. Now stand tall and give me all you have and live in me. I give all myself to you. Thus saith the Lord.
Be seated. Amen. I like maybe if I could, and we'll see how the Spirit goes and how far I go with it, but maybe talk to you a little bit about sticking to it with what God has given you. I personally, I think I rode the wave in exuberance for what God has done for me for years, you know? You hear a lot about, the fellowship of his sufferings, or, and Christ wrote a lot about, him being with us during the hard times. And, I didn't know anything about that. I heard about it. I read about it. It's funny, because I'd say maybe 10, 12 years ago, the Lord started putting on my heart about sticking to it, standing fast. I always thought it was something to minister on and what the Lord had given me to minister on, and I did. Many times, because it just kept on coming up. I didn't know that was for me. It was for me. All those verses he gave me, which I would expound upon, under the anointing of God's Spirit, were for me, things that, you'd have to go through. And, I'm thankful for that. But, it's one thing to get up here and talk about it, and one thing to minister it. And, the Lord says that whatever you minister, you're held accountable to anyways, and I know that. But when it happens, when things happen, you have to start doing it.
Yeah.
There is a difference between believing it, and that's good. I'm glad if you believe, man, that's just about all you need. But to start doing, because in maturity, we're called to be mature Christians. And if I rode the wave of happiness in my ministry for the rest of my life, I think I'd be shortchanged. I think God expects us to worship him, praise him, thank him, do what he asks us to do, regardless of how we feel.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I've had a lot of feelings going on for the last 5-6 years, and the Lord spoke to me during those times. Can I get bent out of shape over things? Yeah. But God would always tell me, what do you do about that, Ken? You sat there and ministered under the anointing, my words. Are you going to chicken out now and go off, and I said no, and I would sit there with my head hanging during the services and stuff, and he would say, what are you going to do? I don't want to do anything, Lord, I don't want to do anything, and he would just keep on saying that to me. I knew what I had to do. God wants us to be He wants praise. He wants us to do what he told me to do. I was prayed over by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, and I imparted upon my own life were gifts. And it all came true. What he said came true. That should have been enough right there, right? But what happens if he takes that off? What happens if he takes everything away? And we did it to Job. It's our example in the Bible, right? You know, the enemy came at him twice. And, you know, we get after his, you know, and what he said was, naked I came into this world, and naked am I going to leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
He praised God. And, you know, after the second bout, you know, we get after his wife for getting at him, but, you know, she lost everything too. And she said, are you going to maintain your integrity, Job? Why don't you just curse God and die? And she said, he said, you speak like a foolish woman. And I'm not saying it's anything against her, but I am amazed at what he's able to say. I'll just tell you that God's been going, not that bad, but I mean, I've definitely been run through the ringer the last couple years, and, you know, God takes everything away. He don't take everything.
That's
he may
right.
take the material yeah. stuff. He may take the things that you cherish the most in this world. But our ministry and our calling are not of this world.
Amen.
Amen.
They're not of this world. So, therefore, I have to go to that realm where he wants me to be.
Amen.
And praise him. Praise goes deeper than my mouth. You know, if I was to lose my mouth, which is what God uses in me, my mouth is used by God. He said so. But I could lose that. I mean, if I didn't lose it yet, and I'm not looking forward to if it does happen, but if it did, I'd still have to praise him.
Mm-hmm.
Because praise goes way deeper. It goes way deeper than this physical that I am. It is something that will be with God wherever God is. It'll be something that continually goes on into the kingdom, and we are called to that kingdom, you know? So what about what God has given you to do? You know, we have, and I'm not criticizing, but we sometimes have a hard time performing our ministry, even when we're happy, you know? What about when you're sad, you know? You know, in maturity, God has called us to be mature Christians. He says that he wants a people that are sucking on the bottle, but they're chewing on meat. Forgive me for paraphrasing. But that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And I think we're getting there. I think we're closer than we think we are. I think that we are starting to realize that God's calling over your ministry is without, and I can say this, it's without repentance. God does not repent over that. You know, there is no, I look in the Bible and my feelings don't come into play. He doesn't say, you know, I feel so sorry for you, Ken. I'm just going to coddle you and spoon feed you for the rest of your life because you're having a hard time. You know, he does feel bad. He does feel bad. But the Bible never talks about that, you know. I would just love to be spoon fed, you know, and everything going on. He doesn't want that. He just doesn't. And I've been slapped at the backside of the head many a time by my Lord. That's how he deals with me.
Amen.
Why he does, but he hits me hard. But I think it's because he wants me to do what he asked me to do.
Amen.
And I think he's going to do it to you too.
Hallelujah.
I hate to be the first fruits of pain and suffering. But if that's my lot, I won't tell you about it. You know? He expects us in our ministries to be honest. And I think he expects us sometimes to be brutally honest. You know, so when the trial comes, you will have to make a choice whether you are going to praise God or not. You're going to have to make a choice whether you serve God or not. If the rubber meets the road there, And he said in the Bible that there will be times of suffering. There will be, he said, you know, if you're going to be with Christ, you're going to suffer with Christ. You know, and I can read some scriptures, and I'll read a couple, but let's go to Hebrews 12. And I want you to look at the way God talks to those that go through this. Let me see, where am I going to start here? I'll start at 12 and verse 3. It said, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Well, that sobers me up. "And you have, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children? My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives." Now, he loves me. He loves you. And then it says, "If you endure." See, there's an if statement there. If you endure. See, that's where we don't do so good. I'm not talking about maybe the ones here. I hope, if it happens to you, that you'll learn to endure. But I've seen a lot of people leave when hard times come. You know, I don't criticize that. I'm not condemning that. I understand that. There's just pain involved sometimes, you know? And it's sometimes more than you can handle. But in those times, God said to me again, "What are you going to do? Because if you leave now, you're a hypocrite. Everything you said was for nothing. And all the example that you set means nothing. And I can't do that."
Amen.
I can't.
Praise the Lord.
You know, he called me, and it's been wonderful. He plucked me out of oblivion, and he put me here. In my wonderful middle-class life that I had no reason to come to God. I had it pretty good. Okay? That's all the more confirmation to me that I should have been here in the first place. You know, that he wanted me here. I know. I know. I hope you know. I know. I'm supposed to be here. I know I'm supposed to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Amen.
So knowing that, regardless of the pain and suffering, you, I, made the choice to do what he asked me to do, regardless of how I felt. Because how I felt doesn't enter into the Bible. If it did, we probably wouldn't be here. And this wouldn't be the place that God's called us to. Because getting into the kingdom of God, which is what we're called to, will cost us everything.
Amen.
You know, and I didn't like that when I first came here. I just didn't like to hear that. I mean, I was pretty happy with what I had. You know, what do you mean it cost me everything? Well, I didn't understand what he's talking. The material seemed better than nothing. You know, but it's going to cost us the things that are dear to me, like my intellect and my humor and my children. I mean, it could be any of that stuff, you know. But the things that are deep down inside, your pride, you know, that you don't even know you have. You know, it's just a little sidebar. When you go through these things, he doesn't do just one thing. He works on all kinds of things inside you. It will never come out unless you go through the trial. That's why he said, if you endure chastening. If you endure chastening. You will be counted as a son. I'll read it. It says, if you endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if we be without chastisement, we're of our partakers and your bastards and not sons. In other words, you're illegitimate. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father and the spirits and live? Well, it's a proven fact that if your parents don't correct you, they don't love you. I don't want my children to grow up to be little brats, but big brats. I want that. And I do that because I love them. So why can't I see, or why can't we see when he gets after us? That it's because he loves me. Hallelujah! He says, you know, I'm starting to realize that, you know? Yeah, you can be happy in a trial, you know? It's a crazy thing. But it's true. God loves me. He loves you. And he didn't like the way I was. He didn't like some of the things that I brought into this relationship with him. I didn't know I had them, but there was things that had to go, you know? And the toughest one I've ever had to deal with is pride. Man. That was harder than anything else I've gone through, is to look at myself in the mirror and realize that, you know, I didn't think it was there, but it was there. It's pretty ugly. But I had to deal with that, you know, and submit to God and let him have his way with me. You know, there was someone said here, I don't know who this is, allow God to have his way. I wrote it down. Allow God to have his way. You know, yeah, that's what you need to do. You have to endure chasing. You have to allow God to have his way. You know, and when you get to the place where you surrender, you know, I've surrendered lots of my life to God. I kept on thinking I gave him all, but I didn't, you know. I thought he had it all. When I, you know, when I was talking about a camp that first time, I just turned my life over to Christ, and now, man, there was pride that was in the way, you know. And then when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I had to force myself, which I knew I did. I overruled the flesh. It was wonderful, but I had to force myself to get up there. I wanted to, but I didn't want to. I had the same battle that Paul had, where the things I should do, I don't. The things I say, I won't. And, you know, you have that battle. But I learned at a young age to overrule the flesh. But I'm still learning, you know. And I think we are too.
Amen.
You know, I think we are still learning. And I think it's a continual learning. But you don't give it to them all at first, you know. There's still something left. And I'm honestly glad that I didn't do it all at once, because it would have killed me. You know, and that's the truth. I really believe that. You know. He just brings things up as you walk in maturity. And, you know, we can look at things a lot of different ways. God's all over me. God's getting after me. But I can look at it like, well, maybe I'm at the place where I can deal with this now. And he brings it up. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. God will say, this is a tough one, Ken. But we're going to deal with this. And here it is. Here's a picture of it. And then, you know, I go running away and screaming, you know, but you have to deal with it, you know. And this is how we get into the kingdom of God. This is what I'm talking about, is walking in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This is running after the Spirit. You know, in the Bible, when it says, you know, it talks in Romans 8 about those that are after the flesh or those that are after the Spirit. I like the word after, because it makes me feel like I'm running after. You know, doesn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. You know, I can go look at the Greek or whatever, maybe don't say that, but when I read it, it says you're after the Spirit. I want to be after the Spirit. I love being in the Spirit. And the things that we're talking about here have everything to do with walking in the Spirit, and these things are going to be brought up into our lives. These things are going to come, and we're going to have the yippee-yahoo days, but we're going to have the days where God's going to say, regardless of how you feel, I expect you to pray for me. I expect you to perform your ministry. I expect you to do what I've given you to do, because I spent a lot of time, you know, I have a lot invested in you. I don't know how else to say that.
Yeah.
But if I want to be with my Lord, and I'm telling you something, I want to be there.
Amen.
In the kingdom of God. I've read all about it. It's in my heart. I don't know how it got there, quite frankly, because it's there. But I understood it very early. I want to be there. Like I'm saying, I don't see how in the world that's ever going to happen. You know, I just don't see how that's ever going to happen. I think I'm starting to understand it now.
Amen.
Because some of it's not so easy to give up. And I'm telling you all this so that you will be encouraged. Because in the Bible, it says that, well, I know we finished reading James, but I mean Hebrews. Let me finish this real quick and then I'll head to it. But it says, but if you be without chastisement, wherefore you are all partakers and your ambassadors and not sons. Verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous. I agree. But grievous. I agree. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, I want you to listen to verse 12, because this is where we have the trouble. I can get fired up when I read this part. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. That's what he tells me to do. Quit being in your pity party. Lift up your hands when you're chastised, when you're pouting. Amen. Lift up your hands, which so feebly hang down. You know, that's what he tells me. You know, lift up your hands. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, this is a good thing. I'm speaking from my pain right now, and I'm telling you, it's a good thing. Amen? So, lift up your hands, which hang down, and the feeble knees. And make straight your path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. See, understand? He doesn't say, you poor little thing. You know, he doesn't do that. He wants us to buck up and you know. It was said somewhere into these services where we need to man up. I don't know if anybody else said it, but I wrote that down. I go, yeah, that's what I need to do. It's just a confirmation of what's going on. But I'm not special. All right? If I'm going through it, you'll go through it.
Yeah.
We will go through it together. Because that's just the way it is. We're going to walk into this together. We'll call together. It isn't going to be me, nor do I want it to be. It'll be us. Amen?
Amen.
First Peter 4:13-19. Hey, I mean, kind of really here it is again, and if you actually start reading the Bible from this mindset, you're going to realize that God is constantly telling us to rejoice. You know, rejoice in everything. Pray without ceasing, you know. So he tells us these things a lot. But here it is again. Verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 4. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Amen?
Amen.
I'm starting to figure that out. Man, it's taken a long time, but I think I'm starting to get it. That means I can be happy even when I'm not. You know, I can be joyous even when the trial is there. Amen?
Yes, hallelujah.
But if you be reproached for the name of Christ, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory of God rests upon you. And on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other matters. We're not suffering for those things. I hope not. And if you are, then you deserve it. Right? But he's just saying, that's just fleshly stuff. But, so don't be suffering, I don't want to see you guys getting suffering over stuff like that, but, yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf, on this behalf.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's good. This is speaking right to me. For the time has come, and this is what I mean, this all goes to the kingdom. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And it first began at us. What shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if scarcely the righteous be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Amen? So judgment has to begin here. Oh, we heard this probably 15, 20 years ago. I remember the big thing. I remember. But now it's making sense, you know. Judgment has to begin here. And if we start getting mature, which we are, that's a good thing too. He's going to start dealing with us as sons. He's going to start chastising you. He's going to start correcting you. And he says, you should be happy for this. And you will learn to be happy in this because the people of God will be happy. And if you can do this and listen to this and obey and start doing what God asks you to do, no matter how you feel, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what happens, that is what he's called us to in the kingdom of God. That's how we need to be in the kingdom of God. Because no matter what the situation, he wants us to clean the earth up with him. And you can't do it if you're going to be in your pity party. You have to be tough. That's why God doesn't cut us any slack in the scriptures. That's why he says, lift up your hands and praise me. Those feeble knees. You know, he doesn't cut you any slack. He didn't cut me any slack. So I'm starting to see this now. So you understand that a trial is not a bad thing if it's in God.
Right.
And quite frankly, if you're a Christian, and I'll tell you this, if you're here and you're going through a trial, it's of God. Because all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Amen.
You know, when I came up, I had absolutely no idea how I was going to get this out because, you know, I've been pretty upset. I spent a lot of time crying back there, you know, because every time something was said, it just welled over me, you know. And I want you to understand that no matter what God is giving me to do, if you can take the Spirit and grab onto it and hold onto it, And use what God's given you and the power and authority that he has bestowed upon you that's there, your ministry will work. And I don't know what it is for all of you. I know what it is for me, but I know that mine works regardless. Because I am shocked sometimes at how well it works, even when I feel absolutely horrible. You know, it still works. In fact, it doesn't even matter. You know? And there's a blessing in that, and there's a joy in that, and there's a peace in that. I can't explain it with the human mind. I can't voice it in a way that would make sense to us in the human language, you know, but how wonderful it is. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. James, we've heard this. My brethren, count it all joy, first chapter, second verse. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And here's the part that I like. But let patience have her perfect work. Don't leave. First of all, I don't like it. It hurts my feelings when you leave. I love you. You know? I mean that sincerely. It hurts. You know? And I want you to understand something. There's probably somebody here, and I felt this, you know, I don't know, but there may be somebody here that hasn't been able, you know, you might be going through all the motions of praising and worshiping, and so no one sees your pain, you know. But you may be in that place, you know, you may be in that place. And I would just ask you, as hard as you can, try to do what God asks you to do, regardless of what the circumstances is. It hurts when you leave, but I understand. Because as many times I did, I knew I wasn't going to, but I wanted to. You know, I just wanted to get in my pickup truck and drive west and do the sunset, you know. But my truck kept on breaking down, and it's just not I love my truck, and I'm telling you, it's like every time I take it out, check engine light, you know, a little connector goes off, it's like, oh, man. I can't even leave, go west, Lord, so I have to praise you. Right? Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, I mean, I guess that's really what I wanted to say. that, but let patience have its perfect work.
Amen.
Let God, because it was said already, I say it, someone else said it, let God have his way with you. So let God have his way with you. And when the trial comes, let the trial come. Don't fight it. It could be horribly embarrassing, you know. You might have done something really dumb, you know, but it doesn't matter. We all do, you know. And let patience have its perfect work, is the Bible says.
Praise the Lord.
Because what it does is it brings you to the next step that we need to take to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is what it means by creation, standing on its tiptoes, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. These are the things that we have to start grasping onto, and more than that, actually doing. Regardless, doing. You know? The Word says be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only, but I never thought it would be like this. You know? So, I'm very, I never thought I'd say this, but I'm actually thankful. Well, it's hard to still say this, but you know, you're thankful for the trial. It's tough one for me to tell you.
Hallelujah.
Not because it isn't joyous, but it does work out something that I could never have happened in me without that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe to my shame, but this is what it took. Some of you know my situation, but wow. If this is what it took, I must be really hard-headed, you know. But God loves me so much,
yeah.
And he wants my, I'm not saying that I'm so great, but he wants my ministry to perform so bad that he may be, I've gone through this, we're going through this.
Oh,
and maybe just to tell you, you know, maybe just to tell you, I don't know. But I do know he uses me, and I sure like that. How about you? You like when God uses your ministry? Isn't there not nothing like it?
Yeah.
Let's all talk here, man. You know, there's nothing like it. When God takes you and uses you in what he's giving you to do, and you feel great and you get none of the glory.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not fleshly. That's spiritual.
Amen?
I'm going to sit down here in a few seconds, but I want to expound on one other thing if I could. And this is just something I noticed, you know. Because this week when I got here, you know, how many of you are here, you know, people were pulling all their suitcases in here and everything, and I got here, and, you know, Steve's pulling in, you know, and he's got the suitcase train coming in here, right, Steve? And he goes, Ken, I have to talk to you. He goes, and he goes into the whole thing of what he had going on here, you know, surprising new Joe, and he's like, he's all fired up, you know. He goes, I need you to sing with. You need me to sing. I said, well, you must have heard me in the shower because, you know, that anyway, wasn't all, you know. I'm thinking, wow, okay, you know, because I, you know, normally don't, I mean, I love to sing. I do love to sing. And I do sing in the shower, but I mean, so he says, I want you to meet with the young people. I said, oh, okay, you know. Well, I didn't realize that there was, you know, just a few other people there. So, you know, fill the locker room with the young people, you know, so I hung out in the back. You know, but you know, so Steve's going through all this stuff, and I'm sorry to make an example of you, Steve, but that's exactly what I'm going to do. So you know, every day we came in here, we practiced, and I couldn't always get here right on time. But you know, I started seeing Steve working in his ministry. Pretty exciting. It's exciting for me. You know, and he get all these kids up here, and I don't know if you ever seen Steve operate, but man, when he starts getting into it, you can just see it flowing. You know, he starts really getting excited. You know, so you know that excites me. I'm starting to get pretty excited because Steve's getting excited. And like, when you hit the note right or if it comes out right, he's there. Oh, he just shows it. Yes, his ministry is being used, and I'm thinking, and I'm getting the help. You know. Like yesterday, I finally realized just how cool this was. Because I'm going to tell you something. I never sang in the choir. I never sang in the choir in my life. I avoided the choir people when I was in high school. Because the choir people, that's the choir people. And then there's the jocks and there's all this other stuff. You know, there's the ones that are in, you know, like drama class. But they're the choir people. Right? Well, I never got involved with the choir people. And I'm kind of sorry now. But I avoided the choir people. So... So we're back here, you know, and see, you guys get to see the back of Steve's head when he's doing all this stuff. But we got to see his face. Now, you guys all know what I'm talking about. I mean, I learned all kinds of things because I know nothing about singing in the choir, nothing. But you know what? Because Steve's in the spirit, I'm in the spirit, I started understanding what he's talking about. Do you know that when every stroke of that hand, that's another word you're supposed to start? Did you know that? And like, if he wants you to sing high, louder, his hands go up and he's out there, and I end up singing loud. And it's like, and these things, he brings it down, and you're like, he's drawing me in. And I felt like going out there and getting hot. Because he was like drawing it out of me. It's his ministry, you know, it's just it's coming out of me. You know, and then like when he wants you to stop, he can get everybody to stop at the same time. He's like a control freak up there. You know why? I know why choir directors do what they do, because when you, I mean, they do whatever you tell them. I had never done that before, and I'm thinking, you know, so I'm standing over here, you know, I know I'm not in the mic now, but I'm like, I'd be going, and like, eventually, you know, I had to see him, so I was hiding at first, you know, so and some of the guys, some of the kids were rocking back and forth, because I wanted to see his face, because, you know, if I started messing the word up, I mean, I could have looked up there, but I just looked at Steve's face, because he's singing the song for us, you know, he was singing it too, I'm thinking this. This is really cool, you know, and just like you see me, you know, loving what I do, what God has given me to do, I think if you're doing what God gave you to do, you really love it. Amen.
Amen.
So if you haven't found that yet, oh, I want you to, because I have just as much fun doing it and watching you as I have doing what I do. There's just as much joy in that, you know, and I'm teasing you, but thank you, you know. That was just absolutely wonderful. It really was, you know? And so, Lord bless all you guys. That's all I have to say, but stick to it.
Yeah.
Stand fast.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Just stand fast in what he's called you to. There's a lot of scriptures in. You just go look up the word stand, and you'll see when he says stand fast, and there's three good ones in there. I didn't get time to read them, but read them. You know? Because when he says, having all done all to stand, stand there, therefore. I love that part.
Yeah.
Having done all to stand, stand therefore. You know? Having done everything you need to do, don't leave. You know? Stand therefore. Amen?
Amen.
I love you guys.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I wanted to read you about a 2-minute thing here. On Tuesdays, we have a devotion that comes out on email. And this was on this last Tuesday's devotion. And it applies to what a lot of the things that Ken said and also to a number of the prophecies that I heard anyway. And the title is called Pay Attention, about how appropriate. Pay attention. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away.
Yeah.
For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast on every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. That's Hebrews 2, verse 1 to 4. Pay attention. Give the more earnest heed to what we have heard. Pay attention. IFL Science Magazine reminds us that, quote, in quotes, not long, according to a study by Microsoft Corporation, human attention span has supposedly dropped from 12 seconds in 2002 to only 8 seconds in 2013, which is a second shorter than a goldfish. So supposedly our attention span is a second shorter than a goldfish. Now, this is hard to believe. Ironically, we have seen quite the opposite at our annual church camps. When you visit with various church camp attendees, many can remember statements, phrases, words, songs, truths, scriptures ministered literally decades ago. Isn't that the truth? Ken was sharing something he heard 32 years ago, a song by Brother Marcus. If the attention of a human is supposedly only 8 seconds, how is it possible for so many to remember so much detail of previous camps? I believe it is because when this precious seed of the kingdom is received with faith, it takes root. It soon takes on a life of its own. God has given his church the ability to hear the word of God and the ability to remember. This is what happens at our church camps and our local assemblies. But there's one more important step that we must all take that makes a difference between spiritual life and death. And that is to take action and walk in what God has directed. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." I encourage the readers of this devotion to listen to the recent camp tapes. It is an opportunity to hear what God is declaring to the church of this hour. This is the camp season, the season to gather, to assemble, to hear from heaven. But most importantly, let us walk faithfully according to his declared word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
While I'm a short guy, and I plan to stick to my stature, I know I'm not going to ask Steve to come up here. I appreciate so much. I believe that we have had a wonderful camp. Yes. We've had some good teachings. And when you encapsulate them all together, we go to our various homes when we're driving home and when we're relaxing. May the word of God just come back to us. Yes. And it seems like if I can use one word to summarize, it's difficult to do, but everybody would have a different word. I would use the word continue.
Yeah.
Continue.
Amen.
Continue the things that you have heard. We heard just now. Continue in this journey that we have heard about that began at the time of our salvation and the time of when we proved the Lord in so many ways in this journey. Just continue pressing on. The Apostle Paul says, I press. Press, that word press. It means going through. It's difficulties. I press towards the mark of the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's something that we all are called to do. We have heard the experience of our brother Ken here, and we have heard so much that God is the one who will sustain us.
Amen.
There's nothing that you go through that God will not keep you.
Amen.
The grace of God will sustain you and keep you anywhere the will of God takes you. I'm sure that you've heard that many times. And so Just rely on the Lord. Just depend on Him, and He will sustain you and keep you. I think of the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10, says those beautiful words. After an experience when Jesus was in Jericho. And by the way, in Israel, today is supposed to be Shabbat. And you hear lots of greetings. They would say, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Well, we thank God the time and the era that we are in. We are not stuck into the past, but we are moving forward.
Amen.
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 And we are moving on. Because Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's not a Sabbath day. It's a Sabbath life.
Oh,
means
amen.
7 days a week,
hallelujah.
24 hours a day, 365.4 days per year. It depends on if you're talking about the leap year. Right? So, we are to continue going on with the Lord. Continue pressing on. Because this particular guy, he was very short. I think of myself many times when I read the book of Luke chapter 19. That Jesus passing through Jericho. And Jericho was a cursed city according to tradition. But yet, Jesus passed through Jericho. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Aren't you happy about that?
Amen.
Jesus did not go around like what his disciples were probably doing. Jesus said, I must needs pass through Samaria. And there it was that he met with the woman at the well. And so specific circumstances that God will take you through. And in these times, I believe during this camp, and the Lord would have given us a lot of food, a lot of spiritual food to partake on. But the thing that struck me very much from the book of Luke chapter 19, you read that extract from verse 1 to verse 10. Verse 10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Mm-hmm.
That outlined specifically the calling and the vision of Jesus, why he came. He came to save the world. Because God gave his only begotten Son so that he can have many sons unto glory for himself.
Mm-hmm.
As sons of God. That's a powerful investment that God did. So this man, coming back to this Zacchaeus guy, he was chief among the publicans. And he wanted to see Jesus. I challenge us, during this camp, we would have seen Jesus.
Amen.
We would have met with him.
Amen.
We would have fellowship with him.
Amen.
And Jesus knew his heart as he was walking. He looked up. But the thing is, that word before was used. Ken was using the word after. He used the word after and after. But there are before too. Sometimes we can run before the Lord. We can run ahead of God. Because, God, you're not working this thing out for me enough. And so we want to run ahead of God. But God wants us to just follow him.
Amen.
Follow him.
Amen.
He's leading us right. So, Zacchaeus, or Zacchaeus, or whatever you call him, depends on which accent you're using. I'm a southern guy, as you know. And he ran to the sycamore tree to see who he was, to see Jesus. Jesus knew his heart. And he went, came to that spot, looked up, and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today, now, is the day of salvation. Now, I can almost hear Brother York saying, now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. So make haste and come down. I must abide at your house. This is the abiding that we have had during this week. This is the impact of just touching base with Jesus. That's wonderful. And he came down. Zacchaeus came down that sycamore tree. He went home with, Jesus was with him, he took home, and he had gravy and biscuits and grits maybe. I try to speak as a southern guy. But anyway, and they had fellowship. Just as expressed in the book of Revelation chapter 3, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. A message to the church. If any man hear my voice and open that door, because the latch for that door is from the inside. It's not on the outside. Holman Hunt painted that picture. He did not paint the latch on the outside. And when he was questioned, there was a review of his work. They asked him, somebody got him and said, you've got a mistake here. There is no latch on the door. He said, no, that was done on purpose because the latch is from the inside. And we have got to open the door for fellowship.
Amen.
And deeper fellowship.
Amen.
And continual fellowship. And keep on keeping on with the Lord. Amen. That's what this camp is all about. So, Zacchaeus opened the door. Beautiful. He came in, had fellowship. And then, what happened? The Pharisees, the far you see from the kingdom of God, and those sad you see about the things of God, those are the critics. Those are the people that Ken probably, you know, was referring to at one point. Because we will be pressured. We will be criticized. If we are not criticized, something is wrong.
Yeah.
You get me?
Yeah.
If everything is going right, something is wrong. Get before God. Pray. It's not all hunky-dory or peaches and cream or whatever slangs you might use here. We've got to come to the place that we have to press. The woman with the issue of blood, she pressed against all odds. And this is the way. We must leave this camp resolute in our hearts with the anointing that we must press towards the things of God.
Amen.
And never be discouraged.
Yes.
If you are discouraged, I say to you, stand up and just allow the Holy Spirit to just anoint you afresh. And may, as we go out of these doors, may we be ever energized and encouraged to press towards the things of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Pharisees began to criticize Jesus. Now, just think about it. If they criticize Jesus, how much more you? How much more me?
Yeah.
Maybe we are due for double criticism or triple criticism. They will find fault in everything that we do. And critics are not only outside. Now, this may shock you, but the critics within and without. Critics within our own families, within our own circles, within our own congregation. I want to be straight with you that we must press on to the Lord. As long as we know we are following the Master. So that's what they said about Jesus. And Jesus spoke those beautiful words. He said, this day is salvation come to this house. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
Verse 10. And I say to us here that we have fellowship with the Lord. We have encountered a touch from the Master's hand, which makes a difference. You all know the story about the violin, and you all know the difference. That's what we want in our lives. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. We've had that experience. And so I would like to encourage us. Because in the house of the Lord, there is victory. And as you go out of these doors here, you will be challenged. Those of you who we prayed for healing, the symptoms will come back maybe. But you know what? Symptoms come and symptoms go. Amen? Symptoms will always, and that sometimes can shake our faith. But we must be resolute. Believe God for your healing.
Yes.
And every time that symptoms come, you look to the Lord and pray, Lord, I believe you'll heal me. In Jesus' name I'm healed. By the blood of Jesus Christ I'm healed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the stand that we need to take.
Amen.
And as we sever one from another and we go to our various homes, I just felt inclined by the Holy Spirit just to pronounce a blessing upon us and our families.
Yes.
Can we all stand, please?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I'd like us to do something a little bit more. Can we link our hands together? Hallelujah. 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 There is something about linking our hands together. There's something about joining our hearts together. There's something about linking our faith together and believing God as one man's faith. Can you see the power, the powerful thing? Do we have a hand mic by any reason here? Praise the Lord. And we're going to pray. Hallelujah. And we're going to believe the Lord. Oh, I feel so comfortable here. I don't like the pulpiteering, you know. I hope you can hear me at the back. Can you? Okay, praise the Lord. Well, I want us to just believe the Lord. We're going to pray. And remember, we all leave our homes with different circumstances. We are all now going back to our homes, believing God to do the changes. Isn't that so?
Amen.
The changes had started within us. And it's like that river that flows from within. And we will see the effects of that. We're going to pray and believe God. Amen?
Amen.
So let's believe God. Let's believe God. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God, we thank you this day. We praise your precious name because you're God and there is none else beside you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together to praise, to worship you. Lord, we thank you that the purpose why you made us, Lord, is to worship you. And so we thank you for this wonderful opportunity. We praise your precious name. We uplift the name of Jesus. For great is our God and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Hallelujah. Father and God, as we stand in your presence, in the presence of the divine, in the presence of God Almighty, in the presence of our Father. Oh Lord, we thank you as brothers and sisters, as we link our hands together. We believe you, Lord, that whatever we might have slipped, we pray in Jesus' name that you will fulfill those requests in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, if there's any sickness among us, that you will heal completely. Hallelujah. If there are any diseases, those diseases will go in Jesus' precious name. We thank you, Lord, for touching us by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, you know the various needs. Lord, we pray you'll provide for our needs. For you know the social needs. You know the psychological needs. You know the physical needs. Lord, you know the spiritual needs. And we thank you, Lord, as we commit them before you. We praise you, Lord, that you are our need provider. Thank you for doing it, O God. Touch us today, dear Father. We praise your precious name for doing this, dear Lord. We pray you bless us as we go. Bless our going out. Bless our coming in. Bless our baskets. Bless our store. Bless everything we put forth our hands to do in the name of Jesus, dear Lord. Oh, bless us, we pray. May the blessings of the Lord overtake us and go before us, dear God. May your blessings, may that blessing be extended to our homes, to our loved ones. Lord, we pray a blessing, dear God, as we travel of mercies, of journey mercies, dear Father. We thank you for blessing us. Blessing us with a double portion. Oh God, with a tremendous blessing of your Holy Spirit in our lives, in our walk. Lord, may your word be so blessed in us that we will see the fruits thereof. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. We ask these things. Amen. Praise God. We can be seated. I'd like to share with you a little testimony. And that testimony is, on Thursday, I had to skip off the campus here to go and see my doctor. And I told him, well, I just came off of camp. And he listened to me and said, I was at Camp Caraway. Well, I didn't think much people know about Camp Caraway. This place is hidden away from anything that's important in the city. And so he said, Camp Caraway. And he paused. And he said, that was the place where I found Jesus as a young man. And that really touched me through and through like a sword. And I said, yes. Yes, Lord, you have us here for a purpose. So I want to encourage you as you go back to your home, do not give place to doubt and unbelief. You're not looking at circumstances. Keep believing the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Keep believing God. We have prayed, we have asked the Lord, our faith will be tested. we have to keep on, as we would say, keep on the firing line. Keep praying. Don't give up. Amen. Keep on keeping on. Continue. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 41.
First of all, I just want to say thanks for everything.
Thank you.
First time in North Carolina. It was wonderful. Words can't explain what this camp meant to me.
Thank you, Lord.
Words can't explain.
Amen.
So, let us continue moving on.
Amen.
For the best is yet to come.
Amen.
Don't give up with the love that God has shed in our hearts. Keep on spreading it. I really, really enjoy this camp.
Amen.
God bless you.
Any announcements? Okay, announcement over here.